That we have a place where we can come. Amen. Amen. As God's provided way. Amen. So tonight we'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 60 and just read the first couple verses here. And this should be very familiar to us. But you know, this scripture is in our day and it is actually speaking directly to us. So, can we read it too much? Not when the word is concerning you. There's a lot of word that we could read. There's a lot of scripture we could read. But there's something about the verses of scripture that are speaking directly to us. Amen? Amen. So, verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. Amen. How many want the glory of the Lord to be seen on you? Amen. Not just confess and profess, but actually be seen in your life. Amen. That's what I want tonight. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you, Lord, for your eternal word, Lord. And as we open the hallowed pages, Lord, as it were, we just ask that you would just quicken it to us, Lord, and make it alive, make it real to us tonight. And Lord, may this just not be another service, Lord, where we've just come and we know we've heard these verses, we've heard these things before, maybe, but Lord, may it be real to us tonight. May it just stir our hearts, Lord, for the time is short, and we know that you're coming soon, Lord, and we want to be ready. We want your glory to be revealed in us. I pray that you would just bless your people here tonight, Lord. Bless all the requests that have gone forth, Lord, those that need a touch from you. Lord, may you touch them tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. What a contrast. Amen. Darkness and gross darkness compared to the glory of the Lord. You can't compare the glory of the Lord with anything, really. You know, we have a concept maybe of what the glory of the Lord is, but I guarantee that you and I really don't understand the glory of the Lord. It's so far beyond human thinking. And yet so simple in the way that he reveals it. Amen? But what a contrast that he's drawing here where we've got darkness and light. Now, Brother Branham, as I said, told us that this scripture is speaking of us. This is speaking of our day. Amen? This is not some far off, you know, time or a time past. This is for right now. And this is the condition of the end time that we are living in. It describes the spiritual condition that we're surrounded by. Amen? It's not that there's literal darkness. We understand that. But it's spiritually speaking. Amen? It's describing both the believer and the unbeliever at the time of the coming of the Lord. When all things, when the church, when all the things of the scripture are being rolled up and fulfilled at this last time. You know, in the time of Jesus, when Christ was on the scene, Scripture was fulfilled at an enormous rate. There was silence for so long, and then all of a sudden it was like an explosion of Scripture being fulfilled, one right after another. Amen? And that's the way we see it in our day. We see these things increasing, right up to the coming of the Lord. And brother, sister, we're living in this time. Amen? We're living in the time of the coming of the Lord. We shouldn't lose sight of that. Amen? Sometimes, you know, we think about these things in such theoretical terms and we lose sight that he is coming. Amen. Amen. And I want to see him, don't you? Amen. And I want to be ready for him. Amen. Amen. So we know that when we're talking about these terms, dark and light, We know that dark is just the absence of light, right? You either have light, and if you don't have light, then we describe that as darkness. But there's two words actually in this scripture that are used for darkness, different words. And the first is the darkness that covers the earth. And that darkness is what we would consider dark or obscurity. You can't see because of lack of light. So it says that that darkness would cover the earth. Again, we understand this as spiritual. Amen. And it also says that gross darkness would be on the people. Now that gross darkness is a different word altogether. It's actually a cloud or a heavy gloom. A thick cloud of darkness. It's not just obscuring the light, but it's actually a darkness that has substance to it. A cloud that comes and envelops and oppresses and pushes. Amen? Gross darkness, thick. It's gloomy. It presses in. It covers. Amen? And that's the darkness that would be on the people.
Right.
Now, we're going to get to some quotes about this, but later on, Brother Branham said that that was a dark spirit on the people. So, scientists disagree on what light is. Some thinks it's waves, some thinks it's particles, some thinks it's both. They don't really understand it. But we know that without it, we can't see. Amen? And the only reason that we see something is because light is striking it. And the only reason that we see that light striking it is because whatever it is reflects that light back to us. If we had something that completely absorbed the light, we couldn't see it. It would just be blackness. We might notice it was there because it would stand out on everything else that's reflecting the light. A black hole is like this, where black holes actually bend light and they do all kinds of funny things with light, and so it's just this blackness. In fact, they're working on inventions of invisibility cloaks.
Right?
Well, the way that you make something invisible is if I was standing here if I wasn't standing here, you would see what was behind me, right? The reason that you see me is because there's light reflecting off of me and because I'm blocking the light that's coming from a certain place behind me.
Right.
Right? But they've got a way where they can make light reflect off something and then bend around so that you would see the light that's from behind me bending around me. So light can be bent, it can be turned and shaped. If you've ever been underwater, you know that. Right? Because light bends at different angles and all kinds of things. But the point is that without it, we are limited in how we contact, how we sense things. Right? We would be left with feeling and hearing and smelling. But in a spiritual sense, without light, we are completely blinded. Right, if somebody is in darkness or they're blind, they have trouble navigating. They have trouble knowing where to go. Amen. So we could perceive things by touch and other ways, but we would be missing out on so much without light. I remember one time. So when I was in high school, we had photography class. And I don't know if I might have told this story here before, but we had photography class, and back then it wasn't digital photography, okay? Right? All you millennials, right? That just all you know is digital photography. We didn't have that. We didn't have digital cameras. We had to develop the film. So we would take the film, you know, you would take your pictures and you take the film, and we learned how to develop the film and we learned how to make enlargements. You make a picture out of the film. Well, when they were teaching us how to do that, you had to take the film So the film would be in little canisters, right? Those of you remember the old 35-millimeter film, it would come in a canister, and you'd take all your pictures, and you have the little counter, and then the film would be all inside this little canister. Well, to develop it, you had to pull it out of the canister and put it into a little reel, and then you had to go through and do different chemicals, right, to develop that film. Well, you couldn't do that in the light, because the way film works is when light strikes it, it changes the composition of the film. Oh, there's a spiritual type in there. Amen? But the film reacts to the light. And so when you were developing it, you had to do it in complete darkness. So when they were teaching us how to do this, and they were talking about the dark room, and they would say things like, look, this darkness is, it's complete darkness. If there is any light in there at all, it's going to ruin the film. And I remember there was this one student who was pretty cocky. And he was a Native American, of Native American descent. And he, you know, arrogantly said, well, he said, I'm a native. He said, my eyes can adapt to any darkness. And the teacher just, okay. Good luck with that, right? It's dark. Your eyes cannot adapt to zero light. And so we would go into that dark room and it's just black. Black as black can be. You open your eyes and you're waiting for your eyes to adjust. If you've ever gone into a dark room, right, and it takes a minute, but eventually your eyes adjust, even if there's just if you can just barely make out shapes, your eyes are really good at adapting, right? But if there's no light, zero blackness, I don't care how long you stay in there, and sometimes it took a while as you're learning how to do this. You could stay in there for an hour, eyes wide open, pupils is open at whatever, your eye, iris, I guess it is, right? Your eye is just trying to adapt, and it's still black. You can't see a thing. Some people are in that condition. Spiritually, they're walking around in complete darkness. Blackened. A complete blackout. So this film, in the darkness, you would get it all in there, and then you would develop it. And then once it would go through the developing process, and then they would fix it, right? There was a chemical that would fix it. So now it was no longer sensitive to the light, and you could bring it out and see what was developed on the film. And as you began to look at it and look at the film, you could see the images of what had shown on it. Now, Brother Branham said that's like the Bible. That's like the Word. Amen? The negative. But if you looked at it, it didn't quite look like, you know, what a person. I took a picture of Brother Henry. I could tell it was Brother Henry, but it's not, you know, it's a negative. Right? We were doing black and white, but if you were doing color, their colors are reversed, right? And it's backwards, and I can see that it's him, but it's not perfectly him, right? So to be able to take the negative now and turn it into the positive, then you would have to shine a light on the negative. And so what then you would do is you would go into what they call an enlarging room, and it was a different room. And there was actually a little light in there that you could use, but you would put that negative in an enlarger, and it had a huge lamp on it. And you put a special paper under it, and that light would shine through the negative, and it would project the image out onto this paper, and it looked like the original. Right. And that was the positive. The light shining through the negative. Amen. Brother, sister, that's what we're experiencing. The light shining through the Word. Amen. And it's producing something. Now, when we read the word, it looks, it's just seed form. It's just the negative. Amen. We have an idea of what it's supposed to look like. But then when the light shines through it, amen, that's when suddenly you see that's a believer. That's a Christian in Laodicea. That's what he was thinking of when he was talking about his sinless, spotless bride. That's what he was talking about in the word when he was talking about an overcomer. Now I see it. That light is shining through the negative. Amen. And now it's on full display. So that light would shine through the negative onto the paper, and it would imprint on that paper, and then you take that paper and run it through some more chemicals, and boom, you had a picture. It's so much easier nowadays, right? You just take the picture and the little card, and you put the little card, and you print it, or you run it down to, I guess, some place that'll print it, but you lose out on all the types. Amen. I can still remember that darkness of that dark room, though. I don't believe it was cold in there. It was actually pretty warm. They had fans in there blowing. But I tell you, it felt cold. That darkness, I could feel it. The Bible says that they had a similar darkness in the land of Egypt. Exodus 12:21. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Feeling the darkness. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness. Right? This is not just an absence of light. This is a darkness that can be felt. A thick darkness. It has substance to it. In all the land of Egypt, 3 days. So where they saw not each other, they couldn't see each other. You ever been in such a dark place where you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face? They couldn't see each other. Neither rose from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, this was the last plague, brother, sister, before death. The last plague, the very last plague, was death. But this was the last one right before death struck. Amen? And Egypt is a type of the world. And we are now in this plague. And death is striking the land. Darkness has come and death is following right behind it. Amen? But think about the contrast. Here's Israel and they have light. I bet they never appreciated light so much. It never looked so good to them, amen? When they were surrounded by a thick darkness that could be felt. But yet in their homes, God supplied light. Amen? This is speaking spiritually of our day. Light in the darkness. Think about that contrast. Amen? Light that, or darkness that could be felt, yet through that, there is a light that pierces through it. Amen? That pushes it back, that drives it away. A darkness that's thick, but the life of God pushes it. When we talk about light, it's not just the ability to, it's not just illumination, but light is also life. Amen. If we think about the light that comes from the sun, that provides life here on earth. It's not just so we can see, right? It also provides life for all the plants. It provides life for us, for animals. Amen. So light is a type of life. It's not just understanding. It is, it's revelation, but it's also life. Darkness is the lack of truth or revelation of truth. Amen? A lack of revelation. Because you can have truth and not have the light of it. Satan knows the Bible, but he doesn't have the life of the Bible. He doesn't have the revelation of it. It's just words. Amen? So he's in darkness. Amen. Think about that. He is called the angel of light. And yet he is in darkness. His light is a false light. Amen. Just like many false lights in our day. But there's only one true light. And that light is the life. Amen. In John, the first chapter, it speaks of Jesus and he says that light was the life of men. Amen. Spiritual life, revelation. You know, if you've ever used the phrase, I'm in the dark, or about someone, they're in the dark about that. Right? Maybe you were going to have a surprise birthday party or something, right? You want to keep that person in the dark. Well, you're not literally putting them in a closet, right? You're just not telling them what's happening. They don't know what's going on around them. Everybody around them is in the know. But they're in the dark. Amen? Everybody's planning and you're whispering behind their back, and it's for a good thing, right? But they're in the dark. They don't know what's going on. Hallelujah. But there are some that are in the light. Amen? They might think they know what's going on. Oh, you know, this bishop's been acting funny lately, and this happened, and this happened, and I'm putting two and two together. Their imagination is trying to create light where there is none. And brother, sister, that's what people do with the word. Their imagination and their reasoning, they try to create light without the revelation of the Spirit. So we're keeping someone in the dark, but they're trying to know what's going on. They're in the dark. Amen. In Egypt, they couldn't even see each other. All of their normal remedies for darkness, oil lamps, whatever they had, candles, none of it worked. The things of earth could not overcome it. Amen. They failed because they refused the light of God's word. Amen. And so they were left in darkness. And so are we if we refuse the light of God's word. There's nothing left if you refuse light other than darkness. As I mentioned before, Satan is called the angel of light. Amen. And we understand that churches have false lights, false understandings, natural denominational understanding. People in this message with natural concepts and natural understanding of the message. Those are natural lights. They cannot push back the spiritual darkness. No more than the candles could in Egypt. Amen. Man-made thinking, even in our own message, is just as good as an Egyptian candle. Only the truth of the living word. Oh, hallelujah. The living word, revealed word, when it comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Only that can push back the gross darkness. Amen. Think about it. I don't know how Israel had light. Right? I don't know how that worked. I don't know if they had candles and their candles worked. But if they did and their candles worked, it was supernatural. No matter how you look at it. It was God's provided light. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about those Egyptians in the dark. They're just like the people we meet every day. They can't see where they're walking. They're tripping on things. Amen? Oh, the people you run into, it looks like they might have their life together. But they're tripping their way through life. They're stumbling. Amen? They have no sense of direction. When it's dark, you can't tell which way to go. I don't know. This way, maybe I'll just go this way. Well, you don't know. You're just presuming. I need to get somewhere. Maybe I'll go this way. But you don't know. No sense of direction. Amen? Without the light of the gospel in your life, you have no sense of direction. You have no purpose in your life. Oh, but with it, you know you see clearly. Amen. God's leading you. Amen. You're tripping on things you can't see. Now, that's not to say that when you become a Christian and you have the light of God in your life that you won't trip a few times. Of course you will. But you're not fumbling around in the dark. And your hand is being held by His. Amen. In the dark, there's a fear of an unknown because you can't see what's out there. You can't see what's coming your way. If you're walking, you don't know. You might walk off a cliff any moment because you can't see what's in front of you. Amen. Gross darkness. Blinded by the spiritual powers of this age. Amen. Blinded. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My. The God of this world has blinded and blocked spiritual sight. Amen. We're not just talking about worldly demons. We're talking about religious demons that block the spiritual sight of people. Amen. That they're so caught up in their own righteousness. Amen. They know so much and they won't be taught by anybody that they're blinded. The Bible says that they're wretched, poor, naked, and blind. And they don't know it. Why? Because they're in a lukewarm religious condition. They think they're all right, yet they don't have the life of God. The light in their soul. Amen? They're tripping and bumping their way through life. Instead of walking with Him, their hand in His. Amen? Brother, sister, we're not worried about walking off a cliff. I hope you're not. The cliffs of life, right? We're not walking around in fear. Why? Because He's with us. He is our light, our life. And we have His light. We have His word. Sure, we won't always know and see everything that's coming our way. Amen? But Brother Branham says, don't look out afar off. Speaking of things in your life, and we do that, right? We want to plan. What's coming? How am I going to plan for this and plan for that and worry about this and worry about that? He said, don't look afar off. He said, look up. Amen? Look up. And walk with your hand in His. Amen. We're not afraid of the storms of life. We're not afraid of the terrors at night because we have a light. The powers of darkness have no power over the children of the light. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful tonight that His light has come? Amen. Thy light has come. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not groping, you know, around trying to understand the word. We're not trying to reason it out, and we're not scholars, you know, that are, we're relying on our education to try and understand the Bible anymore. Amen. That was for a different age. This is an eagle age. Amen. We are born again believers, walking in the light as He is in the light. He reveals the word to us. Brother, sister, that's why we're not afraid of false doctrines or any wind of doctrine to come through. Because he's leading us. Amen. He will reveal his word in due season. As we have need of it. I have confidence in that. Otherwise, I can't see. I can't make light on my own. Right? I can't make revelation. I can't reveal something to myself. Amen. Amen? You can take this Bible and you can, no matter how hard you squeeze it, I'm going to get it. You can't reveal it to yourself. You can listen to a tape every day of your life. You can listen to a tape constantly, every moment of your life. Amen? But unless God reveals it to you, it's not light. Amen. It's his light. Hallelujah. But brother, sister, when the light comes, we accept it. We accept it by walking in it. Amen. We don't reject it. We don't say, whoa, I don't know. I was with you until that little bit of light came along. Now I don't know. No. We walk in the light. Amen? The world is in gross darkness because it refuses to walk in the light. It has rejected the light. And so there is a thick spiritual oppression on this world, on this age, on this land, as hell is being poured out into this dimension. Amen? We know that's what the Bible says. That hell is being poured out. This is Satan's Eden. Amen. But brother, sister, there are lights. Even in that thick darkness, there are lights. Amen. I'm looking at some of them here tonight. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I didn't see anything about your will other than you surrendering your will to his will. Right? It's God working in you. It's God working in you. To do all things without murmuring and disputing, that must be God. Amen. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And brother, sister, the more crooked and the more perverse the nation gets, the world gets, the more the lights of God shine. The more the blameless and harmless, without rebuke, without a stain on the reputation, amen, walking according to the precepts of God, walking in the goodness of the Lord, amen, turning the other cheek, walking in peace, the more that the nation becomes perverse and crooked, the more those lights shine. We look at it as a bad thing. Oh, do you... Hand-wringing, right? What's going on in the nation? I mean, have you seen how bad it's getting out there? What's that to you? We're not of this world. It all belongs to the devil anyway. Amen. They're just doing what was prophesied of them. But brother, sister, it's a contrast. It's a setting. You know what a setting is? Where they take a diamond and they put it in a setting, right? So that it shows off the qualities of the diamond or the jewel or the gem or whatever, right? When you display a picture, they put it in some sort of frame and some sort of setting to provide a contrast to make it, we got to make it pop, right? Well, what pops more than light in darkness? Man, a real Christian lady walking down the street. Amen. Who's walking in holiness. who's wearing a dress and has her walking in modesty and, you know, with a long hair, and she's not walking out in front of her husband leading the way. That pops. Amen. In a dark and perverse world. Amen. Because the world ain't like that. Now, if you think back 100 years, it wouldn't pop so much, would it? Right? Because women were more in their place. It was more common. This was a Christian nation. Right? Well, I'm here to tell you, brother, sister, that just because this was a Christian nation, say 100 years ago, I'll just use that number. Probably, if we go back 200, maybe better. Right? A Christian nation, that don't mean all them people were bride. Right? It was still a mixed multitude. There were still believers and make-believers and unbelievers. Amen? But it was harder to tell the difference. Now you can tell. The believer pops. Amen. That darkness has gotten blacker and blacker. And the light has stayed with its full illuminated brightness. And in fact, as we go on and the word is being more unveiled, amen, and we are coming up to the age of the headstone, the head coming down, uniting with the body, the more we are like Christ. Amen. Amen. The more of his word is restored, the brighter those lights shine. Talk about popping. Amen. Hallelujah. The contrast has never been greater. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 19. It says, the angel of God, now this is after they left Egypt, amen, and they were just moving out and escaping. God was leading them out just before the Red Sea. It says, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. So the Egyptians have followed, right, to try and recapture them. The cloud went from before, the pillar of the cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. But it gave light, or it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Amen. Amen. The same word. The same sword. It cuts. Amen. On one side is one, on one side is the other. It causes a separation. Amen. Amen? The word causes a separation between belief and unbelief. In a church body, when the word is preached, some will believe it and some will not. And it causes a separation. Amen. The word, Jesus, you know, when Jesus came here on earth, he said, look, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to start a war. Right? He says, you know, mother and father, child, right? Because the word brings a separation. Just by its very nature, you're either going to believe it or you're going to reject it. And those that believe it are on one side and those that reject it are on the other. Amen. I'll drop a little something in here. When you see these big churches where there's all these big mixed multitudes in there, you got to question whether the word is being preached. Because the word will bring a separation. Amen. If the word's not being preached, then it's easy to get along. Amen. There's no word to bring a separation. That's why we have all these things like, well, you know, if you have a church and everybody, well, we just believe God sent a prophet. Well, okay, there's a little separation there, right? There are people that won't believe that, and so they won't go to that church. But man, if that's the only bit of word that you got, there's a lot of people that can rally around that. God sent a prophet. Amen? But we want the whole word. So the word of God brings a separation. And on one side, it's light. Amen. And on the other side, it's darkness. Same pillar of fire, same, or pillar of cloud, right? Same word. It blinded some. It illuminated others. What a contrast, amen? Brother Branham said this in the message, The Token. We took down all our clocks. Long hair, he says, is a Nazarite vow. It showed that you've cut yourself from the Word to obey the Word. Amen. Samson let his hair grow out for a Nazarite vow. Now we realizing these things, and women dressing and acting and doing, and men permitting them to do, big bunch of sissies. It seems like there's not even a man anymore, or not even man anymore. You see men wearing pink shoes, preachers on the pulpit, something like that, that's a disgrace. I like to see men that's absolutely man. Look like there's a power that drives them to do it. Do you know that? There's a power behind that. He says it's the devil and the pressure of this day. You see, that darkness is a thick darkness, brother, sister. Brother Brown says, that's right. He said, sometime a man weighing 200 pounds and muscle like that and not an ounce of man in him acts like some big sissy out here. Anybody ever seen these? And nowadays, it's not even pink shoes. Right? They're doing whole sex changes. Taking drugs so that they'll have the right hormones or whatever. He says some big 200-pound man, oh, gross. Right? Trying to look like a woman. Acts like some big sissy out here. So what he was seeing and identifying even in those days, now the God of this evil age has taken it to a higher form yet. Brother Brennan, and you know, maybe in those days they were probably like, oh, come on, bro, you know, pink shoes, who cares? It's just a color. But where did it lead? Where was that spirit taking that? Amen? He says, I like, let a man be a man. Let a woman be feminine. Let them be ladies. He says, when the token is applied, they turn back to that. Why? Because they come out of that darkness. They're illuminated to their rightful place in what God made them. The token is applied, they turn back to that. God made them different, and they are different. Man wants to look like women, and women wants to look like men. He says it goes to show there is a perversion, a dark spirit hanging over, gross darkness over the people. Amen? A spirit. This is not just lack of illuminating light. It's a spirit of gross darkness, brother, sister. What we're seeing now is manifested far beyond what they could ever think in 1964, 5, when this was preached. 4. Amen? He was getting on for pink shoes. Amen? Now they're doing all kinds of crazy operations, and they make you have to call them a she or he or whatever, or you lose your job. All society is put its weight behind it. Why? Because it's owned by Satan. It's Satan's Eden. There's probably a day when they could shut our doors for saying things like this. But it's just God's truth. Amen. Goes to show there's a perversion, he says. But it's a dark spirit, gross darkness over the people. So what I'm doing is I want to tie that. When we see that in the land, brother, sister, that is that scripture. That is that scripture in Isaiah. Gross darkness. And look what he says. It's the hour of the calling out. Amen. There's a darkness over Egypt before the calling out. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, then the token was applied. It's time for the church to get the token, or gross darkness is upon the people. gross darkness, he says. It's one or the other, brother, sister. Amen. There's no riding the fence. You're either in dark or you're in light. Hallelujah. Amen. That light exposes the deeds of darkness. You know that the more different you are, the more uncomfortable people will be around you. Is that right? Amen? And if they have any conscience, if they're not completely seared in their conscience, they might be convicted just being around you. Especially if they know better. Amen? You get around somebody who's raised in this message. They don't want to be around you because they know. Because you're a witness. Amen? The sister, if they've cut their hair or something, they know. They know what's right. And you just being around them and you obeying God's word, you're a witness against them. Amen? You are a light that's exposing their deeds. It's a witness, amen? A holy person coming in the presence of a sinner is a witness against them. And they might even feel it in their spirit. They might not even understand it, but they might be convicted. You know, the women might try and pull their miniskirt down a little bit or up or whatever, however they have to stretch it. Right? Because they realize, they don't know why. Or you know, the people, they might swear and then apologize. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, excuse my French, right? They're convicted by your life. Because your life is a light. Amen. Now, when that conviction comes, if they push it away enough, their heart will become seared. Amen. And hardened. And they will turn and just hate you for it. When it has its, when it comes to its full fruition, they'll just despise you because you're good. Amen. Amen. So we are a standard. Let's read this from this God of this evil age. Brother Branham says, doctors take instruments and try and find what's wrong. He's talking about just people with ailments and different things, people that come and for prayer. He says they can't do it. We can't tell, but then the Holy Spirit comes out and reveals what he is and exposes him. See, that's what the Word of God is. It is a light that shines in the darkness. Brother Branham, a big part of Brother Branham's ministry was just exposing demons, exposing devils, right? The light would shine and tell them exactly in their life what was wrong. They might have went to doctors, psychiatrists, all kind of thing, right? But then the Holy Spirit comes, he says, and it reveals and exposes. He says, when you take a noise in the room, it sounds mysterious. So he's talking about a room, maybe it's dark in the room, and you hear noise in the room. And you're wondering, what's going on in there? A little scurrying around. Amen? But it's dark. So you don't know what's in there? Sounds mysterious. He says a bunch of something working. And you don't know what it is? Turn on the light quickly. Crickets, roaches. He says they're children of the darkness. And when the light flashes, they scatter away. Why? Because you're exposing them. Amen? He says they went out from us because they wasn't of us. The Bible said, see, they cannot live in the light of the world. For the God of heaven has sent his light in this last days, that he might lighten the path for his children, that they might not walk in darkness and stumble. Aren't you glad? I'm so thankful, brother, sister. We don't have to walk in darkness anymore. Amen? Amen. If we feel like we're walking in darkness tonight, there is a light. Amen? We don't have to stumble anymore, he says, but that they might walk in the light of the shining of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. The light comes and exposes those cockroaches. Amen. Those demons like to hide out, and the only way that they operate is by hiding and by deception. Amen. They try and dull our spiritual senses. They try to take light and black and white and turn it gray, so that, oh, I can just operate in this little gray area in your life. But the light says no. The light comes and it shines and it says, no, there is no gray area. This is good. This is right. This is wrong. This demon is trying to operate in a gray area in your life. But the light of the gospel shines on it. It exposes it. Amen? Amen. It says, this is the truth. And this is a lie. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that, brother, sister. Amen. The religiosity of this age is so terrible, because it tries to let us live in that gloomy gray area. Amen. It doesn't have the power to drive demons out of our lives, because it doesn't have the light. It's all based on intellectualism and personalities. Amen? But I'm so thankful tonight that there is still a power. Amen? There is still a Holy Ghost. God is still moving in His people. God is still giving the Holy Spirit to those that ask for it. Amen? And brother, sister, once that comes, that shines a light in the darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Redemption by power. He says, all right, put on your shockproof jackets. Everybody got a shockproof jacket here tonight? I guess that's kind of like buckling your seat belt or three-point harness or whatever it is, right? Put on your shockproof jacket tonight. He says, here it comes. Look, every man that rejects light goes blind and walks in darkness because you don't accept light. Amen? Well, it stands to reason. If you reject the light, what's left? Darkness, and even more insidious, false light that claims to be a light in the darkness, but has no power over the darkness. He says, every man that rejects light goes blind and walks in darkness because you don't accept light. Amen. God sends ministers who preach the gospel. Wait, that was supposed to be tapes. God sends ministers who preach the gospel. He sends signs and wonders among men to vindicate it to be the truth. And men reject it. He says, then there's nothing left but darkness for you. So, wait a minute. The word being preached, with vindication behind it, is light. You reject that, it's darkness. Now what he said? Now don't get hung up on that. He sends signs and wonders among men to vindicate it to be the truth. He is speaking about the signs and wonders in his own ministry. Amen. But he's speaking about signs and wonders in the body as well. Amen. The truth will always produce signs and wonders. Now, it doesn't have to be, you know, speaking to the storm. But just the wonder of a Holy Ghost-filled believer walking according to the Word. That's a sign. Amen. You have signs and wonders following you. As Brother Doug likes to say, we're not seeking signs, but they're following. Amen? Healing is in the body. Deliverance is in the body. Amen? God doing things all the time in our lives. And he says, and men reject it. There's nothing left but darkness for you. He says, walk in the light while the light's a shining. My brother, receive the light. Christ is the light. He's come to bring light to you, but those who reject the light receive darkness. And every man and woman tonight who rejects light walks in darkness, not knowing where he's going. Staggering along pretty good. Pretty popular with the people. So when he's saying pretty good, it looks good. Right? You look like you got it together. You're looking pretty good on the outside. Popular with the people, he said. You know, maybe they've got a lot of money, you know, a big ministry or a lot of friends. Popular with the people, staggering along pretty good. And he uses that word staggering because that's really what's happening. On the inside, they're just barely hanging on. He says, but I wonder how he stands in the presence of God. To reject the light, all that's left is darkness. That's it. Darkness. Ephesian Church Age, we just got a couple more here and then we'll quit. Ephesian Church Age from the Church Age book, he says, there he is with the seven stars in his right hand. The right hand or arm signifies the power and authority of God. He's speaking about what John saw there in Revelation chapter 1. Psalm 44:3, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thine countenance, because thou hadst favor unto them. In that right hand of power are seven stars. So he's using that scripture to show you that the right hand or the right arm is that arm of power. He says, and that right hand of power are seven stars, who according to Revelation 1:20 are the seven church messengers. This signifies that the very power and authority of God are behind his messengers to every age. They go forth in the fire and power of the Holy Ghost with the word. They are stars because they reflect light. The light they reflect is his light. They have no light of their own. They kindle not their own fires, that men may walk in the light of their sparks. My, if we could look at some of the ministries that are out even in this message today, we couldn't say that about them, many of them. They kindle not their own fires. Amen? They're out there building their own kingdoms. He says, they kindle not their own fires, that men may walk in the light of their sparks. Isaiah 50:11. It is night, for that is when the stars come out. Amen. In the night of the blackness of sin, for all, even the whole world, have sinned and are constantly falling short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. So it's in the darkness, in the darkest time. And brother, sister, we know that we've been in a season of night and we're just now coming up to the breaking of the day. Amen? The new day is about to dawn. But these stars have to shine brightly in the darkness. Now he's speaking about these messengers. Amen? These stars, and these are symbolic. He says they're reflecting light. They don't have any light of their own. And brother, sister, we don't have light of our own. Amen. As we started out, we were talking about how light reflects and how you only see things because there's light shining on it. Right? You only see my hand because there's a light coming down and it's reflecting out. Amen. And that's how you know and you see it. That's how you know that there's light there. The light is not coming from my hand. And the Bible says that we are to shine. And he uses this example to show that we are reflecting his light. Just as we've been told is the moon is a symbol of the bride in this age, where the sun would shine on the moon and the world is illuminated under that light at nighttime. But there's coming a day. There's coming a time when the original light is going to rise again. Amen. It's going to come up in the eastern sky. But until that time, the light has to be shown in the darkness. And it's not, when we say we are the lights of the world, the light is not our light. Brother, sister, and it's not like there's a light, you know, we want to make sure that we understand, it's not like there's a spotlight shining on us that's reflecting, right? The light is actually in you. When you got born again, there was a little pillar of fire that came. There was a light, amen? That came and lit up your soul. Hallelujah. It lit a fire in there. Amen. It lit a lamp on fire. Amen. And it's producing light in your life. And it's shining forth. And it's vindicating God's word. The vindication of this message, brother, sister, is the bride. Amen. Amen. Anybody member of the bride here tonight? So that means you are the vindication of this message. You're the proof of the scripture for this hour. That scripture that we started out with in Isaiah, where it said that thy light has come, that's speaking about you. That scripture is for this hour. Let me just finish up with a couple more quotes here. This is from the message Shalom. This was preached up here in Sierra Vista. It says, John and Jesus couldn't be the same time. When John looked up, he said, now I must decrease and he must increase. He's the vindicated light. So will this light, he's speaking of the light in our day. Don't miss this now. This light move on until he would find the full vindication comes. That's right, he says. He is as he was at the beginning. That's how you start. How you start learning what God was. What did he do when he was there on earth, or when he was here on earth? What kind of a life did he live? Did he agree? Was he a compromiser? Did he go to the organizations? How did he identify himself? Search the scriptures. You think in them, you think you have eternal life. They are the ones that testify of me. See, he says, see, that's the same thing today or any other time. When you want light, see what the scripture says for this hour. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. We should be able to say, this is that. Yeah. That scripture is fulfilled. This day, that scripture is fulfilled. Amen. He's talking about Jesus, who is saying, search the scriptures. You claim to believe the Bible, the Old Testament, the prophets, the law, Moses. He said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are the ones that are speaking of me. Amen. That's the vindication. Amen. So will this light move on until the full vindication comes. Now, continuing on in the same message, Shalom. He says, John was the light, and he was more light than Elijah and them had. Elijah, he wasn't Elijah's light, but he was Elijah in another form, vindicating the light. See, he was. And when Jesus come, he said he was a bright and shining light for a season. You love to walk in his light, see. John said, now I must dim out. I must go out now. My light's finished shining. I must go out and he must increase. He's the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. Amen. That's right. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still the light of the world. And what is he? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Why was he the light of the world? If he'd come, he said he was the Messiah, and he didn't do like the Bible said the Messiah would do, then he wasn't the light of the world. See, it's the vindicated Word that makes it the light of the world. Not the dead word, dead letter word, word that hasn't come to pass, but the vindicated word, in other words, the word that is coming to pass right before your eyes, that's being revealed in its day, that is the light. Amen. Are you with me? He says it's the vindicated word that makes it the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, and this hour that we're living in now, the vindicated word of this hour. Pentecostals, you say, speaking in tongues and so forth. He said that was the day of Pentecost. That was the light of the hour then. See, this is another day. He's the light of the hour today. The seventh church age, all smothered out with Christ on the outside. He's talking about darkness. Right? Remember when he drew in the church ages, and he drew all of the globe with a little bit of light. Darkness, lot of light, smaller. Right? And he said this seventh church age all smothered out with Christ on the outside. The moon, in identifying it, all the darkness coming upon the earth. That's Isaiah. Darkness upon the earth. He says, but the light pressing in now. Oh, hallelujah. Begin to show what's going to take place. The thing will be destroyed. The light will come in and destroy it. It's going to get so black, brother, sister. So dark. Amen? But just when it gets to its darkest point, he said, that's when the light will come in and destroy it. He said, and the saints shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. The earth, the moon, darkness will be took away. The darkness of the night will pass away. The darkness with their death and creeds and away from the word of God, perverted things that they're saying, the light will break forth upon the day. You see, in that darkness, they look at something and think, yeah, that's right. That looks right. In the darkness of our society, right, things are upside down. And people think this is right when it's exactly wrong. It's contrary to the word of God, but they've twisted it in their mind. And in the darkness of the age, it looks right. But one day, brother, sister, the light will shine and expose everything. Amen? And they'll look at that and why did we? Amen? Because they were in darkness. They couldn't see it. Brother, sister, aren't you thankful for the light that we have? We can see these things. We're not fooled by them. Amen? The elect will not be deceived. Hallelujah. The light shining in its season. The church has come through different seasons where the life has moved up through the wheat plant. But now the life is in the seed. Amen? That light, that life has moved on. And now it's in the seed. That's the only place where there is light. And where there is life. But he says, I love how he puts that. The light pressing in. Amen. The light pressing in. What a day, brother, sister. It may be nighttime, but day is about to break. Amen. God's word will have the preeminence. We will break into a new millennial day. Brother, sister, where everything will be made right. God's word will be in charge completely. It'll be a day of light. Amen. Everything that we look at now, we go, are these people nuts? This is crazy. What is It will all be made right.
Amen.
It will be according to God's word. It'll be according to his plan. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Amen. Let's just finish with this last quote. If you'd stand tonight, this is from the message Shalom also that we've been reading from. He says, this is a command to us, brother, sister. This is speaking to us tonight. Because that day hasn't broken yet. We're still in the night. Amen? We're still living in this darkness. But, he says, rise and shine. For the light has come to you. It hasn't risen on the world yet. The world is still in darkness. And there's gross darkness upon the people. But he says, the light has come to you. The word light is vindicated. The only way, as God was Jesus Christ, was the manifestation of God's spoken word, the light of the hour. He says, John the Baptist was the light of the hour. He was the light before Jesus was light. The prophet Isaiah said, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his path. That was the spoken word of God. It was laying there and hadn't come to life yet. Hallelujah. But when it came to life, that was the light. Malachi, the last prophet, 400 years before it taken place, he said, behold, I will send my messenger before me to prepare the way of the Lord. Here come one out of the wilderness without denomination, without creed, without identification, but his light identified him. The word identified him. They said, are you the Messiah? He said, I'm not, but I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus said, you did walk in his light. He was a bright and shining light for a while. Why? Until the way was prepared, then his light went out. You can't walk in that light. Amen? Once Jesus came on the scene, you couldn't walk in John's light anymore. He says, you Baptists. What is he, why is he saying, why is he picking on the Baptists? Because they are walking in a light of a day gone by. Or they're trying to. That's not the light of God. Amen? God is a present God. He's the I am. You can't walk in a light from a previous age. You can't walk in somebody else's light that's gone, that's passed. Right? Jesus wasn't walking in John's light. He was walking in his own light. He was fulfilling the scriptures that spoke of him. Amen. We got to bring that down individually. You can't walk on your parents or your grandparents. You can't walk in their light. The light's got to shine on you. He says, you can't walk in that light, you Baptists. This is the light of the hour. The light has come. Rise and shine. The word, light, word, the manifested word of God, identified, is a light. That's what we are to be doing, brother, sister. The scripture is admonishing you. You see darkness around? You see gross darkness? We're really good at identifying it. Oh, look, did you see what this is? See what that is? Amen? What's going on over here? Gross darkness. Got it. Amen? So what are you supposed to be doing? Arise. Shine. Amen? Arise is not, I'm just sitting on my hands. Right? I'm not sitting wringing my hands. It means come alive. Get up. Amen? Start moving. Get into action. Be enlightened. Amen. Rise. Receive it. Walk in it. And shine. How do we shine? It's not our light. We reflect His light. We receive it. We reflect it. Amen? We vindicate it. We prove it by allowing it to live through us. You want to know that God's still a healer? Ask somebody who's been healed. They're proof that He's a healer. They're shining. That's light. Amen? You want to know if God still saves? Does He still fill with the Spirit? Does He still bind up the brokenhearted? Hallelujah. Amen. Does He still lift us up when we're down? Amen. Is He still a friend? Amen. Has He left us? Has He forsaken us? Is He still a present God, a present help? Amen. How do you know that? Because He's done it in me. He's done it in you. He's still doing it. Arise and shine. Amen. Let that light, that word be manifest. He's still doing these things. He's still God on the throne. Amen. He's still moving in His word. He's still answering prayers. Amen. He's still meeting people in their prayer closet. He's still moving and sending angels out on behalf of their prayers. He's still going after wayward loved ones. Amen. When we hold out and we pray for Him and we lift out and hold out our token. Amen. And we dig down and we battle in prayer. He's still moving on those prayers. He's still God. Amen. He's still doing what He said He would do in His word. He hasn't changed one bit. How do you know? Because we see it. Because we experience it. And that's how His light is shining. His light is shining through you. It's shining through me. It's shining through believers all over this world. How do we know that this message is right? Because God is vindicating it. People, there are still people walking away from this message and they're wondering and they're looking around and saying, where is God? If this message is right, where is God? Brother, sister, we don't have to ask that question. We know He's God. Amen. He's done too much for us, hasn't He? So, brother, sister, let's continue to shine. Amen. Be enlightened, filled with the light of His word. Amen. I want to live this message to its fullest. I want to be so filled with the Word of God. I want to be so saturated with this good Word. Amen. I want to be saturated with His light that I can't help but shine it in this dark, dark world. Amen. The identified Word of God, He said, is a light. When it's been identified, that's the Word of God. You see what they've got. You see what He's got in His life. That's the Word of God. That's a light, brother, sister. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we love You tonight. How grateful we are, Lord. Lord, for what You've done for us. We would have nothing, Lord. But what You've given it to us. You've given us Your life, Your spirit, Your word. Lord, You've let us walk in the light of Your word in this hour. How thankful we are, Lord. Lord, forgive us for not recognizing what You've done for us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we've taken it for granted, Lord. But Lord, tonight I just pray, Lord, that as we just meditate on Your word, Lord, Father, that something would raise up in us, that we would just recognize what we have. Recognize who we are, Lord. Recognize that these things that are happening around us, that's prophecy. That has to happen. It's proof of who we are. It's proof that we are the last
We are the finishing group. And we've got a job to do. We've got a path to walk. I pray, Lord, that you would just encourage each of my brothers and sisters tonight that in Christ Jesus, they are more than conquerors. This darkness will not conquer the children of the living God. There are those that will fall to the left and the right, but the children of the living God will walk on, and they will walk in victory. Oh, sure, they might stumble here and there. They're going to have their struggles and pains, but Lord, they will not be defeated because you have said that they will be conquerors. To them that overcome, Lord, I'm so thankful that I get to be associated with some of those overcomers here tonight. I pray that you bless them, Lord. May they surrender to you even in a greater way tonight, Lord. May each one, Lord, just wait on you, Lord. Wait on the illumination of the Word. Lord, if there is gray areas in our lives, Lord, things where we haven't been given your Word, the preeminence, Lord, I pray that you would shine that spotlight in our lives tonight. Lord, show us where we're not pleasing to you, Lord. Show us where we've allowed darkness to creep in, Lord. And forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord. May your Spirit come and just drive the darkness from us. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Amen. Do you love the Lord? Amen. Let's just sing that tonight. Arise, for thy light is come. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Hallelujah. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. It's come to you tonight. The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord.